Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Amen. Amen. Welcome to everybody who's here in the sanctuary. Welcome to everybody who is participating via Facebook and YouTube. This is Taylor's Tabernacle. We are located in West Philadelphia, and our pastor is Jonathan E. Ford. Amen. 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 There's a lot we got to get to today. We'll be dealing with the youth today and the Celeste Williams Scholarship. So without further ado, we are going to proceed. I'm going to open us up in prayer. If we could all stand. Amen. If we could all stand. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the children that you have blessed us with. Help us in our stewardship, that we would raise them up to honor and glorify you, Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the people you placed in our lives that raised us upright so that we could continue to plant and water for your increase. We thank you, Lord, for salvation. We thank you for making a place for us to come and worship you. We thank you that in the midst of COVID, you made a way for your word to still go out over the internet. Thank you, Christ Jesus, that you would be honored and glorified in this service. That minds would be transformed and renewed as we hear your word. We thank you, Christ Jesus, for allowing us the opportunity to get in your presence. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. If we can remain standing, I'm going to read our scripture for today. I'm going to be reading out of Deuteronomy. I'm going to be reading for your hearing verses 6 and 7. Amen. So Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. And verse 6 reads, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Let's go to verse 8. "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." Amen, amen, amen. And it's talking about the teaching of his word. Amen, amen. That's one thing we are going to honor today, is the teaching and going forth of God's word. Amen, amen. I'm going to call out our pastor, which is why I'm going to let everybody remain standing, that we may honor our pastor. I don't want to leave the camera, I'm sorry. Without further ado, our pastor, Jonathan E. Ford. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, and God bless you, Taylor. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Come on, come on. Give him a little bit more than that. A little bit more than that.
We bless our God. Amen. You might be seated all over the sanctuary.
Good morning, and God bless you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and it is our responsibility to rejoice and be glad in it. So we're glad this Sunday is a special Sunday on our calendar every year. It's time we come together, and we honor all of our young people for the tremendous work they have done both in the church as well as in their academic settings. And so we're so glad again to be celebrating our Celeste Williams Scholarship Program. And as Deacon Todd said, we have a lot to get done in a short amount of time. And as a result, as I was being briefed on all that is to take place today, we have the kids, we've got videos, we've got the garden, we've got guests, we've got a whole lot of stuff going on. So I posed the question, I said, well, how much time have I been allotted to preach? With all of this and all of that, they said, well, said, Pastor, you have exactly 0 minutes to preach. So that's what you have. You got 0 minutes. Now, what they didn't understand is anytime you tell a preacher he or she has 0 minutes, when you translate that from the Greek and the Hebrew, that equates out to about 10 to 15 minutes. That's when zero actually translates to roughly 10 to 15 minutes. So that's, they said none, but to me, that's 10 or 15 minutes. That's what I got to work with. Added to that, because it's the Celeste Scholarship Program, and because we have guests coming for the grand opening of the garden, I was informed yesterday as I was preparing for Sunday, my wife said, well, I just want to mention this. She said, if you wear those overalls and boots to church, she said, you're going to be in pictures by yourself. She said, I'm not getting in any pictures with you, nor am I allowing any of the kids to take a picture with you, because they don't want any pictures with their pastor that got on overalls and worn out boots. So you can see why I'm dressed. I wanted to cry. I ironed my overalls. I got a new t-shirt. I was ready. And she just said, I'm just going to mention it. She said, you can wear it. She said, I understand what you're doing. You were going all of this. She said, look, you just going to be in pictures by yourself. So I had to go to my other closet and get something a little bit more appropriate. So I know a lot of you guys were looking for me. I was ready to wear it, but the first lady pulled the plug on that. So with that being said, here we go. We're going to turn our attention to the Word of God, and we're going to work it out. Hey, I'm going to invite you, if you have your Bibles, to go with me to the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4 and verse 26. There you're going to find a short parable regarding the growing seed. The Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4. Just going to look at a few verses beginning at verse 26. We're also going to add to the witness out of the book of Genesis. Thanks, Deacon Norm. Deacon Norm has Bibles for those that may not have one or not have your iPhone or iPad. But we're going to add to the witness out of the creation account, which is in Genesis, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9. If you have that, I am going to invite you to stand with me as we take a few moments just to read these passages. Amen. And so if you've been tracking with us all month in celebration of the launching of our community garden, I've been preaching a series of sermons entitled Sermons from the Soil. We started the series out by talking about a hearing heart, and how your heart represents the different types of soil described in Jesus's parable. Last Sunday, if you tuned in, we talked about the mystery of the mustard seed and how something so small in the kingdom of God can grow into something that is unbelievably large. So this Sunday, we're going to conclude the series with what I'm going to title this sermon, and that is, God is a gardener. Okay? God is a gardener. Okay? And so that'll just tie all of this. And I hope you picked up on this as I'm back in my garden. I hope you notice the garden is growing. Okay? It's a little, look, I don't got my overalls on, but the garden is what? Growing. Amen? So here we are, Mark 4:26. If you're there, you're going to see these words. And he said, the kingdom of God is as a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Amen. Come on, let's turn to the witness, the creation account. Genesis 2:8-9. It says this. It says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And it was there that he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of both good and evil. Amen. Again, for the few moments that we have together, I just want to talk about or cause you to realize that God is a gardener. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege we have to huddle around the Word of God. We thank you that you have said in our heart and in our minds this morning that we should rise early, make preparation, and come to the house of God, that there the seed of your word might be sprinkled on our ground. And God, that we would come to understand the mystery of the kingdom by simply looking at a garden. God, give us insight into the deep and the unexplainable things of thy kingdom. And cause us to admire the wondrous things hidden in your law. This is our prayer. And we ask it now in the name of the only begotten of God. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. Amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Those of you that are in the overflow, you may be seated as well. Thank you for your participation. And those of you that are joining us online, feel free to be seated. So here we go. Let's get right to it because we don't have much time. As we said, this whole chapter 4, if you haven't noticed it yet, it is all about parables of Jesus. And primary of those parables, he uses as an analogy gardens to explain the kingdom of God. Okay? And so here we find yet another parable that he spoke to the people explaining to them the kingdom of God. So verse 26, and he said, and this is Jesus, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, but he himself does not know how. And so, just so you know, in terms of our garden out back, we started it on May 2nd. On May 2nd, a number of folks came to help get it off the ground. Our gardeners, Lynn and David, my dad, Bishop Ford, because we had never planted a garden, we had to turn the soil. And so we rented a gigantic tiller, bigger than this whole podium. And my dad was looking at me to do it. But I said, Dad, when I was young, I did it because you were my dad and I get a whipping if I didn't do it. I said, now I'm a little older. I got gray hair just like you. And that's young man's work. So I'm not getting behind that big old thing. So I had to go out and hire some football players. So I got Jordan. I got Raymond. I said, look, all you weightlifting, get over here and get behind this tiller and start turning this soil. And they got out there and it was hot and humid. They all sweaty. I said, look, I'll go get y'all something to eat. That's my contribution to the garden. Y'all got to get out of here and turn this soil. They got all it. So anyway, after the day, them and I, everybody was here, and we got it going. And after we turned the soil, they planted seed. All up, all around. You go out there, you see, they just It's planted seed. This, that, some of this, that's out there, corn, tomato. They just planted seed. And here is the testimony from Lynn and David every week. This is a quote. This is what they would say to me every week as I would leave and go out, and they'd show me what's going on. They would say this, say every week. Listen. They would say, John, it's amazing how much the garden has grown since we were last here. They would say that to me every week without fail. Now, for you to get where this thing is going, they would come down, they would say that to me every Sunday. And from Sunday to Sunday, nobody went in the garden. Not only did nobody go in the garden, nobody came to the church. I mean, it's so empty, the mailman almost stopped delivering mail. Yeah, I mean, we just weren't here. We come in for Sunday, we hit, we out. We see it next Sunday. But yet, listen, this is the sermon. If you're listening, this is it. Yet, every week, the garden grew. Lynn didn't do nothing. David didn't come. My dad didn't come. But without fail, week by week, the report was always the same. Pastor, I can't believe how much the garden has grown since we were last here. Now, if you're with me in the spirit, that's the sermon. If I sat down, you could not accuse me of not preaching. I did. Look, listen what Jesus says in the parable. Here it is. The kingdom of God is as if a man sows seed. Listen, the man, the sower, goes to sleep and then gets up in the morning, meaning he has no other activity in the garden. Jesus is saying, I'm not making this stuff up. This is in your Bible. Jesus said, all he does, watch this. I'm going to show you how helpful I am. For all preachers and pastors, for all of us who are witnesses of the Word of God, get this parable. All the sower has to do is sow the seed. That, if you know what I'm doing, that's all you got to do. You're not responsible for causing the seed to grow. Why? Because you and I are not the gardener. If I sat down, I preach. If I walked out now, y'all say, well, why that pastor preach that one? I'm giving you, this is in your Bible. All the sower has to do after sowing the seed is simply go to bed. That's all you got to do. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It took me a while to get this. I've been preaching the better part of 15 years, pastoring 15 years, and it took me just really until the last couple of years to get this in my own spirit. Because as sowers of seed, we oftentimes make the mistake of assuming we have to make that seed grow. So we stay up all night. We're calling everybody. We're trying to do everything. And it's not our job. Here it is. All right, let me give you another one. My dad planted collard greens out in the garden. Watch this. And went away on vacation for a month. For a month. He wasn't even in the state. When he came back, he went back in the garden. Watch this. And picked enough collard greens for his house and mine. Watch this. Y'all didn't get any because y'all didn't come to church. Look, get what I'm saying. For over a month, He was gone. But God, he plants a garden, and in that garden, look, this is your Bible, not me, it says God caused every tree, every vegetation to grow. Everything that was pleasant to the eye and good to eat. Here. Now how's God doing this? Here it is. This is it. If you get this, you down the road. Stay there. Go to Genesis 1:8. Here, Genesis 1:9. Here it is. Get this. This is it. I'm finished. I will be sitting down by 10:30. Get this. Then God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth. Some of your Bibles may say ground. And the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Here it is. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb, all that yields seeds, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its own kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And so it was. And the earth brought forth grass, herbs, seeds according to its own kind, and trees that yield fruit, whose seed was in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Get this. If you get this, you get the sermon. And the evening and the morning was the third day. Here it is. I'm not even going to fool around because I'm out of time. So, obvious from the creation account, God did it. But how did God do it? He did it by speaking to the ground. And I can prove it. Because the evening and the morning were the third day. Adam doesn't come until the sixth day. And if God is talking and his man has not yet been created, who in the world is God talking to? I'm finished, Mary. I'm out. I would do better because you came, but I'm out. They got to give out this God. Listen. Adam wasn't there, so he couldn't have been talking to Adam. But the Bible tells us in verse 11, it says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, earth, trees with its seed already inside. God is a gardener and he speaks to the ground. Somebody shout yet. Here it is. I'm finished. When we garden, we work on top of the ground. My real church got it already. My real church said, Pastor, put it down. We got it. But when God gardens, he doesn't work above the ground. But God works underneath, in, through the ground. And he does it by the power of his own voice. Somebody shout it. Men garden with rakes, shovels, and hoes. But God gardens with his voice. And he does it by speaking to the ground. Get this. Not only natural ground, but he also speaks to spiritual ground, which is the heart and soul of humankind. The gardener is speaking to the ground. Somebody shout it. Here it is. So if you're getting this sermon, here it is. This is your part in the sermon. If you're getting this message and you realize God is a gardener, then you ought to throw your hands up to God and say, God, speak to my ground. Speak until my ground is changed. Speak until my bad soil is changed to good soil. Speak until my thorny ground, my stony ground is changed by the power. Because if God speaks to your ground, your stony ground, your thorny ground, your unproductive ground, your unprofitable ground, your unholy ground. Look at somebody and say, let him speak. If he speaks into your ground, the same thing that he told Moses, he will also say to you. He told Moses, this ground
has been changed. This ground has been made new. Kick off your shoes. You're now standing on holy ground. Somebody give him a praise right now. Holy ground. Holy ground. Look at somebody and say, God, speak in my ground. Come on, speak in my ground. I got stuff in my ground. Yeah, this is not even in the sermon. This is extra. But the ground is always dirty. Always got trash in it. Always got weeds growing up in it. But one word from the real gardener, one word from God's garden can change your ground. Speak, Lord God, into my ground. Speak, Lord God, into my heart so that that's it. It's a wrap. Your God is a gardener. And if you invite him, he will speak into your ground. And he'll change your ground. And in time, you'll see first the blade. A little bit further down the road, then the kernel. A little bit further down the road, then the head in the kernel. First, it'll start out with just 30. You'll keep growing until 60. And as long as you allow God to keep working in your ground, next thing you know, you're bringing forth spiritual fruit unto God in righteousness. All because you invited the gardener in to your ground. You're with us this Sunday morning. Why not start your garden today? We started on May 2nd out back. But you can start this Sunday. This 25th of July. The year 2021 of our Lord. And all you have to do is ask the gardener. Say, God, I invite you. I invite your son. I invite your spirit into my garden. I know it's thorny ground. I know I got stony ground in areas of my life. But I'm so glad that we have a God that doesn't mind working in dirty stuff. Trash. Garbage, weeds. Lynn and David were down here 6 hours yesterday. I asked, I said, well, what did y'all do? They said, well, we spent all the time pulling weeds. We spent the majority of time picking up trash that people had thrown away. We spent the majority of our time picking up poop from animals that wandered into the garden. I said, Pastor, we spent the majority of our time working in dirty stuff. Just like the real gardener does. Listen, why am I going through all this exercise? Listen, this is it and I'm done. I know they need time. You can learn more about your God by simply looking at a garden. Look, and he designed it that way. So that those that were looking for something big and lofty, they what? Missed it. Missed it. But those that had an ear to hear, those that circled back around when he was alone and said, explain to us this how. He said, that's how the kingdom of God works. Because your God's a gardener. And he started it in creation. You don't understand. Your plan of salvation was fashioned in the creation story. And all you have to do is invite God into your ground so that every Sunday when the sower sows seed, it finds good ground. Won't you accept him today? Why won't you make God your gardener? He'll change your life. And he'll cause the ground of your soul to become holy ground. And bring forth spiritual fruit unto righteousness. Everybody, everywhere, give your God a praise.
Amen, amen, amen. You're going to find out that this part of the service also has to do with what the pastor has been preaching about. Amen, amen. So I'm up here today because this is our back to school Sunday, and every year we do this for the Celeste Williams Scholarships. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, then we're going to go to a video presentation. Celeste Williams was one of the founders of this church. She was in charge of education. And she and her family started this scholarship here in the church so that we are able to give it to the children here. And just sort of the short nuts and bolts, we give it to children who over the past year have shown achievement. We do it in terms of attendance and in terms of grades. And with grades, we have two tiers. If someone's at 85%, which is basically a B-plus average, and then those are at 95%. And I'll announce those in a moment. But before that, I'm going to say two more things, then we'll go to the video presentation, which is a video presentation. We asked all of our young folks, depending on their age, to answer a particular question. For the youngest ones, it was how God brought them through COVID, basically. And for the older ones, it was if someone was to ask you why God allowed COVID to happen, what would you say? But as we're watching this and as we're thinking about this and as we're honoring these children, remember what I just said about Celeste Williams. I remember the pastor's message last week and today. Choose education, Sunday school. So going back 60 years, she's planted seed that you're seeing in the preaching today. And for those who are members of this church, you know that there are a lot of preachers in Philadelphia that started in this church. So when you think about the mustard seed and how the word gets planted and grows, God's doing it. But he needs us to what? Do the sowing. And Celeste Williams did that in this house. Amen? Amen. So without further ado, we're going to show the videos of the young folks. They're short. I believe there's 10 of them. So let me get out of the way.
Hello, my name is Kennedy, and God protected me, my family, and all the stuff that I can do. Summer camp, soccer, Girl Scouts, cheerleading, and school. Thank you, God.
Hello, my name is Zoe Price. How did God help you get through COVID-19?
God helped me be safe by staying home and learning about God. God is like a sword and a shield. That is how God protects me and my friends. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Noah Abram, and I just completed the 5th grade. How did God help me get through COVID-19? In the beginning, I was in lockdown and took via Zoom classes, which was a little hard for me because I couldn't see my friends anymore. But in September, I was able to do in-person classes and new schools to make more friends. Dance classes did not end. We continued to be a zoo. We also let that look mad during the summer. We had a virtual recital, and I did full-time dance camp.
During COVID-19, I had a lot more quality time with my family, which was sort of my favorite part, but we were able to watch a lot more TV together and play more board games and video games together.
God has helped me through the coronavirus by keeping all the people in my household from the coronavirus. He has also helped by keeping me in school most of the year. So I thank God a lot for keeping me through the pandemic.
Hi, I'm Isabella Davis, and I'm going to tell you how God helped me get through COVID. God helped me by keeping my family, my friends, and me safe. When COVID first started, a lot of people got sick and some died, which was very scary to me. One of the people close to me who got sick was my grandma. God helped me to trust him more by healing her body so I could see her again. When school closed and we went virtual, it was hard to concentrate, but God helped me to focus and learn to work independently. God helped me to realize that I can do anything I put my mind to.
Just like parents allow children to experience the results of their flaws, God allows his children to feel the results of our sins and faults. For the results, Just like parents allow children to experience the results of their flaws, God allows his children to feel the results of our sins and faults. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oftentimes, people choose to blame God when their sins result in suffering. But no matter how much we mess up, he loves and cares for us, even if we brought the suffering upon ourselves. At the end of the day, we hold the decision whether to live in this imperfect world with or without a perfect God. Also, God sometimes uses your suffering for the better, even when you don't see it, and God is transforming your bad into good.
To be honest, I genuinely don't know. I would probably tell you to just ask my dad or something. But you probably wouldn't understand. And continue to question God and not let your faith grow like it should. So, my answer is not to question it. Questioning God is like asking an artist why they paint what they paint. The possibilities of that answer could be endless. And trying to guess would just be holding you back from the true message.
Do you think God allowed the coronavirus to happen? The short answer is that I don't know. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 to 9 reads as follows. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The question of why a good God would allow his creation to suffer is as old as time itself. I don't know that any one person actually knows the correct answer. I do believe, though, that there are a few ways that this pandemic has prepared us for a continued Christian walk. Suffering often causes people to draw closer to God. Being close to God is where all Christians should strive to be. Suffering also helps to equip us to comfort others. All Christians have been called out to be a light in the world, similar to the light that Jesus shone when he walked among men. In short, this pandemic and the suffering and loss that many suffered may have been intended to draw us closer to our Creator.
Why did God let COVID-19 happen? When I sit and ponder over the question, I began to go over the details of the story of the man who had been blind since birth. When encountering this man, Jesus was asked if the man or his parents had committed sin. His disciples, having a similar mindset to many who question that of the Christian faith, had believed that not only did suffering and sin share a correlation, but the amount of suffering was to be in proportion to the sin that a person committed. But that is not the case. Jesus proved this by stating that neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. By experiencing the challenges brought upon by COVID-19, as well as living through the pandemic, you are now aware of what you have been through and what it is you have just survived. In your heart, you now hold on to an experience that God has put you through in order to reveal the truth inside of you. That truth being that God is the light in the darkness, no matter the circumstance. And much like the blind man, you were lost, and now you are found. As you were blind, and now you see.
Why did God allow COVID-19 to happen? Why does God allow any disease or natural disaster to occur? Surely God does not want to harm his people, but God's purpose in such hard times is much greater. I believe firstly that God allowed COVID-19 to occur in order to bring about a period of reflection, a time to step back and be grateful for everything you have. Everyday life was shut down, including hanging out with friends and family. However, it allowed me to become more thankful for everything I had and did not take things for granted. It also allotted extra time for me to be able to grow closer to God through prayer and scripture. Secondly, I believe God allowed COVID-19 to occur in order to test some people's faith. James 2:2 states, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Many others went through a really difficult time. However, it became a test to put your complete trust in God and to truly understand that God is with you. So in conclusion, let's never blame God for hard times, but rather recognize that God allows COVID-19 and other tribulations to occur in order for you to learn true gratefulness and to strengthen your faith in God. Hard times, but rather recognize that God allows COVID-19.
Amen. Had some technical issues, but I think we got to hear a lot of it, and we will make sure that people here in the sanctuary at the end of the service, we will show it again. Amen? Amen. So what I want to do today, we're not going to do like we did traditionally, which is we have all the young folks come up when we call their name and pastor shakes a hand. We don't have the opportunity to do that today. But we do want to acknowledge the young folks that are going to be recipients of the scholarship. Amen? 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 Amen. Remember, this is young folks achieving. We want to honor this. Amen? And tell them, hey, you did a good job. So as I mentioned earlier, we use the standards of 85% and 95%. 85% is normally grades, church attendance and participation, and school attendance and participation, and the question that we have each year. A little bit different with the attendance because we weren't in, but we did get, for everyone who applied, we have a copy of their transcript, we saw their grades, and we saw their attendance. Amen? Amen. So first, for the first tier, which is the 85%, we're dealing with our young folks that are going from first grade up until when they graduate from high school. And for the 85% tier, I'm going to just say a little bit and mention this individual, and then we'll move forward. This is someone who, when you look at the grades in the past and now, you see the light bulb clicked. You know, with everyone, there's some point in our lives and all of a sudden something clicks. And you can tell by looking at these grades and by the comments that not only did something click, it started to matter. And when you know the journey and the walk that this person has been on, you know that that's a wonderful thing, that something has clicked. Amen? Amen. Now everybody's like, well, who is this? Why isn't he using pronouns so I can guess? But I want you to know, it's Sister Isabella. Fantastic. When you watch her improvement, if you were to see it, you would say, hallelujah. And hallelujah. Look at what the Lord is doing in her. Amen, amen. And we expect greater things going forward. Amen, amen. Now, the way we're doing it this year is groups. In the next group, they all met the 95. Now, the people on the committee will tell you, I'm the one that, I do the grades. So I take the transcripts, I take the numbers, I do the math. Even when I have those transcripts where they don't have letters anymore, they have little symbols and meets expectations and doing very well and all that, we have to put that to the number and put it together. But everyone who's in this group, 95%. In other words, we're talking about, with all of them, just about every letter was an A. Maybe a B here or there. I don't think any of them had a C, but it was just A's. A's and a couple of B's, B minuses, etc. And again, for today, I'm going to list them, and because of time, I don't really have an opportunity to go into all of their accomplishments. Amen? But I want to tell you the names, and I'm just telling you the first names. Those of you who are in the church, you know who they are. Amen? Amen. So the first one would be Sister Zoe. Sister Zoe. Amen. Her transcript was impressive. Amen. And there's also someone in the same grade as her who also had straight A's. And that would be Miss Kennedy. Now we get into what I'll call the family affairs. So first we'll start with the family with two. There's a couple of twos, but the first two, she has straight A's, her brother, straight A's. That's right, Noah and Caleb. I'm going to go in terms of going up older, but Noah and Caleb, amen? Amen? What is it? It's a family affair, amen? Amen. Next family affair, the sisters. Sure we know who they are, right? The sisters, Logan and Jessica. It's a family affair. Amen. Amen. Once again, A's. And Jessica's at that level where she's taking AP and honors classes. Because I had to check with her and somebody else. I probably would have had to check with Caleb, but his school uses a different numbering system. But they score those differently, too. If you're in an AP class, you get extra points because you're taking college-level material. Amen? Amen. Which brings us, we've gone through the brother-sister. The sister-sister, now we got to do the brother-brother-brother. Amen. John, Joshua, and Dave. Amen. Amen. And with John, it was the same situation. I had to look at the honors, had to look at the AP, had to ask him, look, how do these numbers work out, and then do the math. Because, again, he's taking what? Advanced level work. So we need to honor our young folks. We need to do what we're supposed to do in this house, which is teach them the word, right? Because as you see, when Celeste Williams taught the word 60, 70 years ago, I don't know how long, she didn't see the bush then that you can see right now. Amen? Amen. So our job is to what? Teach the word. These young folks are going out, doing well in school. Let's make sure they do well in the word. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to keep things moving. I'd like to honor all of them. Let's give them all one more big hand. Amen. Amen. And now I'm going to call up my wife. She's going to do the offering, and then we're going to have announcements after that by our brother Tyrone.
Good morning, church. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through three ways, including, excuse me, these are new glasses, online giving, text giving, or on our website, also by using U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code Taylor 61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side door ramp. One for your tithes and offerings, and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. Thank you.
Amen. Next, we're going to have Brother Davis, who's going to come up and give our church announcements. Amen.
Good morning, church. August announcements reads, August 1st is Communion Sunday. August 2nd through the 6th, we're doing a five-day fast, Monday through Friday. During a 12-hour fast, we will be increasing our prayer time, reading the Bible, and we will be only drinking water. The times are 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. We begin and end with a fast with a 15 to 20 minute devotion. We will all be using, it will be all of us dialing into the church conference line 775-799-9141 for the prayer and scripture. Power up every Sunday from 9:30 to 9:45 and prayer and Bible study Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Also, August the 14th, from 12 to 2, Teller's Tabernacle and the Clutch Kings present Break the Cycle, addressing today's gun violence that's happening in the Philadelphia community today. We will also be giving out 100 book bags with school supply, with snacks provided. The location is right here, 422 South 61st Street, Philadelphia, PA, 19143.
God bless you. We did it. It's 1 hour. It's 11 o'clock, and we're coming to the conclusion of our program. Before we dismiss and have this benediction, I want to say that, like many of you, I am a proud parent, and I am also a proud pastor. To see our young people, and I'm talking about all of our young people, even beyond those that are award recipients today, but every last one of our young people, to be able to maintain and thrive in the midst of a pandemic, something that not many of us have any frame of reference for. The last pandemic to hit our country affected our grandparents or great grandparents. But in spite of that, they not only maintained, they excelled, they graduated, received scholarships, are going on into post-secondary education. And so we have something to be thankful for. So let's give all of our children a round of applause. Everybody, everyone in our Young Life Experience program, all of our young people, we salute you for what you have done. And I'm proud not only of my boys as a parent, but I'm also proud of all of our kids as a pastor. Because as you see in the analogy of the garden, it takes time for something to grow. It doesn't grow overnight. It takes time. And you have to continue to be faithful in sowing, even when you don't see nothing. But in time, God begins to bring forth a harvest. And what a joy as a pastor now, spiritual overseer, to see our children grow both academically and spiritually. See our young boys and our young women grow up to be wonderful lights of God's glory. And so I celebrate you for allowing the light of God and Jesus Christ to shine bright in your life. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm saying that as your pastor. I'm proud of you. I know what you're doing. I talk to your parents, your grand. I know what you're doing. And you are letting the light shine. The world is being changed by your testimony. So as your pastor, I'm proud of you. I love you. And I thank God for you. Not only all of our young people in K through 12, but all of our young adults who are in college and graduate programs and doctorate programs and going to law school, to all of you. Thank God for you and for what you're allowing Christ to do in and through your ground. May the Lord ever bless you and keep you. It's the prayer of your pastor for you. Shall we all stand? Immediately after the benediction, everyone is invited to the back into the garden. It's open for all of our young people. The garden classes will begin shortly after you get out there. For everyone else, tours are available if you want to go out and get a tour and learn what's growing out there. We're so grateful to have First Lady Rochelle Scott with us today. Let's give her a hand. Always grateful for her and a great husband. But they are also come bearing gifts. They are providing Philadelphia soft pretzels with salt and spicy mustard, along with water ice, to everybody in the garden. Come on, let's thank God for St. Mark Baptist. Even if you don't get no vegetables, you better get a pretzel. Now unto him that is able and alone to present us faultless before the Holy Father and his host of angels, God keep us, sustain us, cause us to grow some 30, some 60, and even 100-fold, that we might bring forth spiritual fruit unto righteousness in the kingdom of God. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of God's people shout amen. Come on, amen. Come on, amen. Come on, close. Give God a praise everywhere. Come on, give him a praise everywhere. Everybody. God bless you, Taylor Nation.